The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The airing of this program by this station is not an endorsement or recommendation by the station of the products or services discussed in the program. The station does not guarantee the results of any investments made by a listener to this program.
Josh Pick is the Chief Investment Advisor with Aptus Wealth Management, a state-registered investment advisory firm. This program is sponsored by Aptus Wealth Management. Exposure to ideas and financial vehicles discussed should not be considered investment advice or recommendation to buy or sell financial vehicle. This information should not be considered tax or legal advice. Individuals should consult with professionals to see if any ideas expressed would fit their specific situation. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. Securities can fluctuate and when redeemed may be more or less than when originally invested.
Welcome in to the Aptus Retirement Blueprint Radio Show. I'm Bruce Hooley here with Josh Pick of Aptus Wealth Management. We're looking forward to the next hour talking with you about growing your investments. You can save money, that's great, but you really need to invest. That's how you really grow your nest egg and arrive at retirement with financial independence. Aptus specializes in that. They are fiduciaries. They are legally obligated to do what is best for you as a client. And the best way to explore that relationship is to take advantage of their free consultation, which they offer you. Go into their office, visit with them, let them get to know you, talk about your investing in the past, your approach to it. We will talk more in this show about assessing investment risk. That's a big part of it, too. Aptus located in Lewis Center, just off Route 750. Set up your consultation by calling their office, 614-917-1040, or by making your appointment online. Their web address is aptuswealth, A-P-T-U-S. aptuswealth.com. And it's interesting, Josh, we've been in this week here where we've had kind of weird June weather, overcast weather, and now it's a rainy day, kind of gloomy out there. And that was kind of the takeaway of the markets to Jerome Powell's testimony, the Fed chairman, on Capitol Hill this week, confirming, I think, what everyone thought when the Fed did not raise interest rates this last time. It broke a 10-meeting streak of raising interest rates every time they met. But he says, even though we didn't raise rates this time, we're going to raise rates in the future. The financial markets didn't like it because they think that sort of confirms the suspicions that some have, maybe half the economists out there, that we are eventually headed for a recession.
Yeah, I think, you know, he very clearly said our target goal is 2% inflation. And in order to achieve that, we're going to have to continue to raise interest rates. And we all know, at least anecdotally, that raising of interest rates creates a headwind for the markets. But, you know, there's a myriad of reasons as to why, but one of the main reasons is, you know, you have these large institutions and they have choices. They're nimble, they're quick, they have choices. Mm-hmm. If we know we can get 5 or 6% out of a CD or a treasury, why would we risk all of this money in the short run by investing in the stock market if we're going to continue to raise interest rates because we know that's a headwind? And that's kind of the analysis of a risk-free rate of return versus a risk, you know, accepted rate of return. But, you know, I've had a lot of clients ask me as a result of that, well, why am I staying invested in the market? If institutions are not playing this game, why am I playing this game? And it brings me back to a conversation that I had a long time ago, and I've probably told this story before, so I apologize if I have. But back in 2001, I had a client come in. I was very, you know, relatively new to the business, and she had some treasuries that she had bought way back in the 80s, some bonds.
Mm-hmm.
And she had been receiving, you know, 14, 15% interest that she had locked in because remember back in the crazy 80s, interest rates went all the way up.
Yeah.
And then in 2001, she comes in and I have to be the bearer of bad news. Those have now run their course and you have to reinvest those dollars. And now they're currently paying 5 or 6%.
Mm-hmm.
Well, imagine if you're basing that income, and in her case, it was $300,000. She'd been living on north of $40,000 a year off of $300,000 just in interest. And now it's down to 15. So the reason that you want to continue, even in the midst of all of this, you know, terrible news that we're going to hear, and I'm sure that the media will perpetuate it and make it sound like it's the cliff that we're all about to fall off of. It's important because you're buying shares through these times. And the market is erratic, but owning shares in the long run will create a generation, a generational type income. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about generational through, you know, multiple generations. I'm talking about throughout your life. It will sustain the level of income adjusted for inflation that you want. Now, of course, you should have some fixed stuff and you should take, you know, what's happening in the economy seriously, but certainly don't pull all your money out of the market and run to fixed like some of these corporations and institutions seem to be doing.
Yeah, and historically, the markets have done very well for people who stay invested over time. That's been proven, you know, time and time again. I wonder, when you were talking about a client who might be asking you, why should I stay in the market if these big institutions are investing in things that return 5% and 6%? Are those institutions getting that return because they're able to commit more money to an investment vehicle than an individual can? Is the return somewhat driven by how much money you allow whoever you're investing it with to have it, the amount of the money?
Yes and no. Of course, if they are investing $1 billion, they're going to get a better rate of return than if you're investing $1,000. And mm-hmm. you can see that at your banks. There's always minimums on different things. But, you know, it's very common in today's market for you to be able to go get 4% out of a savings account, 5% out of a CD, and even higher than that if you're willing to go down the treasury path. The big difference between, you know, some of these institutions and individual investors is some of these institutions are beholden to annual reports. We need to make money for XYZ corporation or for XYZ pension fund, and we need to make that money to make payroll, to make pension distributions now. So their main focus is just, we got to keep chipping away at this problem that we have. So we're going to go fixed and we'll worry about next year, next year. Now, I'm obviously oversimplifying this conversation mm-hmm. a lot, but the important part is, as you look at your own investment mix, is in certain times of, you know, of the economy, you may want to be a little bit more conservative than others. And other times you may want to be a little bit more aggressive than others. And you should always have some fixed stuff, some variable stuff for oversimplification case. But I think oftentimes we worry so much about the variable stuff that we ignore the fixed.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say 9 out of 10 clients that come into my office, I ask them what they're earning on their savings account. They say 0.5%, maybe 0.15. I met with a client today. They had $500,000 in cash, and I asked them what they were earning, and they said definitely less than 0.5%. Ooh. Now, they really wanted a vacation budget to be around $10,000 or $20,000 a year. Well, if we get 4% of your savings and you have $500,000, we just achieved your savings.
Yes.
We achieved your vacation budget for the same money. We didn't do anything different. So it's important to focus on all aspects of your life to maximize where you can.
This is the Aptus Retirement Blueprint Radio Show. It will replay tomorrow at noon. Join Josh and myself on Mondays at 12:30 p.m. on 98.9 The Answer for Money Monday. It's a one-segment portion of the Bruce Hooley Show where we talk about the latest developments in the financial world. Again, this show replays tomorrow at noon, and tell your friends about it. And you can always email us your questions, bruce@salemmedia.com, bruce@salemmedia.com. I know in our situation, we've been with the same bank, my wife and I, since we were married. We might be one of those clients. We don't have $500,000 in savings, so I don't think we'd be getting hurt too much by the fact that, you know, we are with a bank that maybe isn't paying that 4% rate on savings. What about the loyalty of being with a bank? And what about a bank's response to a person who, in our case, we've been with this bank for 20 years. If we come in and we say, hey, we're getting 0.5% on our savings. I see other banks that are paying 4%. Why should we stick with you? Do they have the option to juice the return that you're getting to keep you as a customer? Or is that not really important to a financial institution to keep a customer who they've had for 10 or 20 years?
Well, there's proven statistics out there for every industry that keeping an existing customer is infinitely cheaper and better than trying to go find a new one.
Sure, there's no customer acquisition cost.
They certainly want to keep you. Certain banks have more latitude than others, but I think that people are very surprised to hear that they have any latitude at all. And if you don't believe me, next time you go to apply for a mortgage, tell your bank that some other bank is offering you a better rate. And you'll find that all of a sudden they have all these sorts of loyalty programs and stuff. And all of a sudden it starts getting chipped away.
Yeah.
Well, the same is true on savings and, you know, CDs and money markets, et cetera. Now, some have no latitude whatsoever. But at least you've given your bank the option to keep your loyalty. Now, let's say that they tell you they don't have any option to adjust that rate. You can stay with the same bank. You're comfortable with that bank. You're comfortable with their online banking these mm-hmm. days, right? You're comfortable with the person you talk to at the bank. you can maintain that relationship with your checking account and even maybe your savings account if you want. But now in the age of technology, there's a lot of non-brick-and-mortar banks with big names. Think Goldman Sachs, for example. Think Apple now has a savings account where you can transfer money directly from your existing checking account into that bank, earn the higher rate of return, and transfer it back anytime you want. So you're not changing your online bill pay. You're not changing your entire banking relationship. You're just treating another bank as a almost like an investment vehicle for your savings money that's still completely liquid and just getting a better rate of return. And I think, you know, the less that we do that, the less that we say, well, I just don't want to go through the hassle of, you know, spending 37 seconds to set up an account.
Yeah.
It's really not that big of a hassle. The more that we let banks give us 0.15%, the less inclined they are to raise the rates. So it's somewhat our job to start doing that so that other banks, I promise you, your bank will start raising rates if all the money leaves.
That's interesting. You know, you talk about almost using another bank as an investment vehicle, and that to me adds another layer to something that we've talked about before here, which are all the different avenues to information that's out there for individual investors, for people who don't have a fiduciary like Aptus to represent them. And then you have those vehicles, and you have vehicles beyond the ones that, you know, I know about as just a regular Joe off the street, because I'm sure that you have memberships and affiliations with certain entities that give you access to information. And we've also talked about the difficulty of fighting off this conflict of, well, here's a headline that says a recession's coming, and here's a headline that says, don't worry, recession's not coming. Housing's down, housing's up. You can almost find a headline to say whatever you want it to say. Let's chat a little bit about the availability of information out there and how it affects what you do and how you relate to clients and how you serve clients.
Yeah, I would say we've gone through this phase where back in the early 2000s, we kind of went through the technology phase where all of a sudden we all have computers, we have access to email, we can gain access to Google and all that kind of stuff. Well, fast forward 20 years later, and I would say we're in the information age. And the availability and the rapid pace, and even now that we don't even know if the information's accurate or not.
Yeah.
I would say, you know, a good third of the time a client will call me and say, hey, I saw this article on Social Security, and it says we can get an extra $200 a month. Have you ever heard about that? No, I don't know what you're talking about. So I Google it, and then if you go down the page, it says, you know, false article. It's been proven false. It was all nonsense. So it can be a labyrinth to try and navigate. Now, I think information is a tremendous thing, and the fact that we have the ability to, you know, quite literally go on YouTube and rebuild our engine in our garage step by step is amazing. Although I would mess that up and probably end up with leftover parts of my engine wouldn't start. Maybe
as
a bad example,
but
it's amazing what you can access. And I highly encourage people to do tons of research and try and become educated. But the byproduct of that has been information overload, analysis paralysis, or if we don't have analysis paralysis, maybe we decide to lean into one article and we just pick the old maid. And now we're basing our entire financial lives on inaccurate information.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's the con, is tread lightly, be very cautious about what you read, but of course, read as much as you can. Now, the good news to this information age and the good news to this technological age is we have tools that are available to us now that we never had before. So imagine if you were trying to run a mutual fund before the computer existed. You have people with paper trying to keep track of thousands of transactions and accounts, et cetera. Think of just the sheer error volume that you would have there and how you would have to have these exorbitantly high minimums, because you can't trade $11 a month for a client, for a million clients. You just simply can't do that math. Well, fast forward to today, and anyone can invest just like anyone else can invest.
Yes.
If you have $50 a month, $25 a month, you can invest for all intents and purposes almost identically to somebody who has $1 million. That's a pretty powerful thing. From my perspective, our ability to plan for clients, think of the planning tools that we have now, our ability to choose investments for clients is monumentally, exponentially better than it was even 20 years ago. And then our ability to track that performance and also manage clients as a whole. We now have the ability to have arguably twice as many clients with two times as good a management. I mean, so there are really strong things that have come out of this age, but man, you can also read some malarkey and get a hold of some nonsense.
Yeah, I think we are conditioned, it's interesting, to believe whatever we read because maybe 20, 30 years ago. I think there were standards. I know from coming from the journalism field, there were standards about being devoted to accuracy and nonpartisanship in journalism that just don't exist today. That's what I observe about my own profession. So set up your free consultation with Josh and the Aptus team by calling their office, 614-917-1040. You can also make your appointment online at Aptus Wealth, APTUS, aptuswealth.com. It won't take you long to get to their office from the 270-23 interchange. They're located right off Route 750. And I flash back to when Sherry and I came in for our consultation and when we became clients. I knew that you had a lot of technology and a lot of different things at your disposal. And as you charted for us, the blueprint that we're following, it sticks in my mind that we had a couple different options and a couple different graphs and showing us where we might be going if we adopted one philosophy or if we adopted another philosophy. To the extent that we're not giving away trade secrets, can you take us behind the curtain a little bit and explain to people who might be interested in coming in for the consultation how you use technology in the office and maybe how that's changed over the years and touch on how that's allowed you to do even better at what you do?
Yeah. So if we rewind the clock back to even, let's say, 15, 20 years ago, the technology was very rudimentary. I mean, we could put out some, you know, the printouts were pretty.
Yeah.
And you put them in a nice binder, but the actual meat content of that was pretty mediocre. Think of very basic math. Well, if you take 4% out of your investments every single year, well, that's okay. You need $1 million to get 40,000, forecast forward, pick an assumed interest rate, and then put some pretty graphs to it. And that was about it.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you really care about? And we all knew that this was the real answers. What do you care about? I don't live on my gross income. I live on my net. So what's the most efficient way to withdraw this money to pay as little taxes as possible to generate the same level of income? What about all the what ifs? What if interest rates go up? What if inflation goes up, which we're in both of those environments right now? What if, you know, Mike Tyson, I think, said everybody's going to plan till they get punched in the face. What if the market goes down 20% the day I retire? All the what ifs we have the ability of stress testing now in real time. So I can quite literally show you what your tax return will look like in 2034, which generates how much gross income you need to take out per net. And we all have different assets. I mean, it just the level of robustness is at a whole nother point than it was before. Or, you know, when we're looking at retirement plans, there's different philosophies that our industry kind of debates amongst. Inflation adjusted would mean I just need X amount more and more every single year when I retire. Then there's something called the retirement smile, which we've talked about on this show, where you need more money in the beginning of your retirement because you're doing all the things you were hoping you could do.
Right.
Then in the middle of your retirement, as we start to age, we tend to stay a little closer to home. And then towards the end of our retirement, then we need more medical care. We can click buttons to make sure that all of those different methodologies still carry. So it's been, I mean, a complete and utter game changer in the ability for me to look at a client and say with a high, high level of certainty, you're going to be just fine.
You know, it sticks in my mind back when you went to New York, you went to the stock exchange, you talked about how technology has manifested itself and how things are done differently, even at that level. And where traders used to be on the floor of the stock exchange, used to hold little pieces of paper. They were like physically having to engage in transactions, and all that's done electronically now. And I remember a 60 Minutes story talking about like incremental fractions of cents, C-E-N-T-S, cents that could be made on transactions if you got information a millisecond before somebody else. The technology, obviously, it's evident in all of that. And now we couple it with sort of a new vista that we know is coming, but we don't quite know what the impact is going to be. And it's AI. It's like basically empowering computers even more than they've been empowered before. They've enhanced, it sounds like, what you do and your ability to serve clients. On the horizon, is it too early to tell the impact that AI might make? Will it be an even more radical impact than what has happened as technology has flourished here over the last maybe two decades?
Well, we all know it's going to be tremendously impactful. And I could come up with many scenarios that would be very obvious to that. Like, for example, Warren Buffett talks about this. When he first started, he would get the reports, the annual reports of companies, and read through them cover to cover and just keep doing that for companies over and over again. Well, then fast forward in what companies started doing, like, you know, Bridgewater Capital, and there's a whole bunch of them, they would come up with algorithms, which were computer-generated algorithms that said, I want you to look through all of the online information on said companies, and I want you to specifically look for these 10 things, because that's the metric that's most important to us, whether it's, you know, price-to-earnings ratio or what their budget is or whatever metric they want to use, and I want you to feed that back to us. Now, I could get AI, I could just say, you know what, I got an idea. I think I'd like to know what companies in the world have X. And you could just ask AI and it would tell you instantaneously. So the amount of information that you have and the way that you can build your investment methodology is incredibly powerful. Now, what we don't know is, you know, right now there has to be a human element to ask the questions and then an interpreter of that human element to see, well, is AI actually making good decisions? What we don't know is at what point will AI be able to make all the decisions on their own? And if that's the case, is that good or bad? And we just don't know. But I do know definitively, for sure, AI will change the landscape of the financial markets.
Yeah, it's pretty self-evident in the way that things have changed over the years. They are on top of all these latest changes in technology and how it impacts your investments. I'd highly recommend you go in for the free consultation. My wife and I gained great peace of mind from it. We became Aptus clients. Perhaps you will as well. Set up your consultation by calling the office 614-917-1040. You can make your appointment online, Aptus Wealth, APTUS, aptuswealth.com. Again, right off Route 750 in Lewis Center. And my brother was a computer programmer, and so I just know from the time that he got into it how much things have changed. In terms of how you incorporate technology, how much of it is driven by things, recommendations you get from across the field of people who do what you do? How much of it is in response to clients maybe asking for things or saying, well, I used to be with this particular financial advisor and he did this. You know, are you directed in any one particular way by either competition or by your own sort of curiosity about how these things can be applied to what you do?
I think much like a physician, you certainly want to go to conferences, see what the prevailing ideology is out there. For example, if you see that every smart person that you're aware of is shifting funds from one asset category to a next, that doesn't necessarily mean that we need to shift ours from one category to the next, but I think it at least bears some investigation. But fortunately, if you combine, you know, outside influences with the technology that we can have, it's a great decipherer tool. So this is what everybody's doing. I wonder how that would apply in historical context. I wonder, that's a great money manager that they're talking about. How long have they been around? What's the average tenure of the person? Blah, 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 blah. That information is at your fingertips now. We can have those answers. And if you called me on any investment right now, I could have a 10-page analysis back to you on that investment in 30 seconds. That's remarkable. And I'm talking from multiple sources aggregated together where we have then 10 different interviews talking about it. It's quite remarkable. 50 years ago, it was just you hoped that you picked the right guy or the right girl that had the secret decoder ring to determine what was the best investment. So then maybe the next logical conclusion will be, why do I need a financial advisor at all? Why don't I just use a computer? And some people are going to feel comfortable with that. I could reference a whole lot of reasons why you probably want somebody with some experience to interpret that, and that still does matter.
Yeah, it definitely does. And the one thing that I know, and this is why Sherry and I decided to become Aptus clients, is because we're not ready to retire, but we're definitely at a point where we need to be thinking about when should we retire. And as you get close to that point, you begin to realize what the cost could be, the literal cost could be, of making a mistake that you can't correct. I didn't want that pressure on my wife, who, quite frankly, you know, she's a CPA, so she handled the money, she handled the investments. And it wasn't that I didn't trust her, and it wasn't that she didn't trust herself. It was just that, you know, this is really important, and I'm not equipped with the expertise in this area to be absolutely certain I'm not going to make a huge mistake here. So that's why we realized that we needed somebody, a fiduciary who would do what's legally obligated for us. In meeting with Josh and his team, we had perfect peace of mind with putting our investments in their hands. We're very pleased. And I think that it certainly would behoove you to take advantage of that free consultation to find out if they're the right representatives for you. You can set up that consultation online. at Aptus Wealth, APTUS, aptuswealth.com. You can make a phone call and make that appointment by visiting their office in Lewis Center, just off Route 750. Their office number is 614-917-1040, 614-917-1040. Also, you want to know what your investments are doing. How often should you check them? We'll get into that with Josh next on the Aptus Retirement Blueprint Radio Show. Thanks for joining us on the Aptus Retirement Blueprint Radio Show. I'm Bruce Hooley here with Josh Pick of Aptus Wealth Management. And we're going to be discussing retirement and growing your nest egg toward retirement, financial independence. It is, I think, everyone's goal. And we hope to bulletproof you with things you might not have thought of, challenges that come later once you have put behind you those prime earning years and you want to be enjoying life free of those concerns that can sometimes intrude. Set up your consultation with Josh and the Aptus team to explore perhaps becoming a client by calling their office at 614-917-1040 or by going online and making your appointment. Their web address is Aptus Wealth, APTUS, aptuswealth.com. Yes, it is the same Josh Pick who joins me every Monday for Money Monday on the Bruce Hooley Show. That visit happens at 12:30 p.m. It's a great way for you to get to know Josh. And you want to visit the office. Well, where is it? Lewis Center. Right off Route 750. But if you're a client outside the area or a potential client outside the area, they do service many of their clients via remote access. So, Josh, in my own case, I'm not ready to retire, but I see on the horizon retirement coming sometime in the next probably decade, probably at the end of the decade, more likely. But for the first time in my working life, I've had to start thinking about when should I start seriously thinking about it? Before my 30s and 40s, it wasn't a concern. So I wonder, in your experience dealing with clients, how would you counsel someone who's, like me, not ready to retire, but as they're contemplating, what do I need to be thinking about so that when I get to retirement, I haven't not done things that I should have done that are now unfixable because I didn't do them? Did you follow that?
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think, you know, as I often do, I'll correlate it back to something unrelated, but I think it makes sense. I read somewhere, it was probably a meme somewhere, but it said, if you don't take time for your wellness, you will have to make time for your sickness.
Yeah, very true.
Well, similarly here, if you don't take time to learn what you should be learning, you said it. I mean, we all know it, right? You're saying, I should probably start looking at this. But why aren't you? You have to make the time to actually do it, or you're going to have to deal with the repercussions. And I think you hit the nail on the head, and that is, well, I'm about 10 years out. Mm-hmm. I know if I screw up, it's not going
to
be good.
Hard to come back from it.
Yeah. I better start looking at it. And then you probably at some point in that thought process, and excuse me if I'm wrong, you probably said, okay, I know I need to look at it, but what the heck am I supposed to look at?
Yeah, my prevailing thought was, what if we screw this up? And I don't want to be at that point and have a problem that is unfixable because we didn't do something that, in this case, was literally right in front of me. And you and I talk every week, and I'm like, and that's not why we became clients, but it's why we started to explore who should we find to put in charge of this, who really knows what they're doing, who has a proven track record, who we have an ability to interact with in a way that we understand things.
So, well, I appreciate that, but you know, I think it's important that what we want is that kind of golden pill. That's what we want. We want somebody to go, oh, you're 5 years out. This is what you should be doing. And it's just simply not that easy. Let me give you a bunch of examples. You know, I oftentimes get questions like, well, how should I be managing my money? How often should I be looking at it? What should I be in? Well, that's a very personal question. I have clients that are in their 30s and 40s that don't have any money in the stock market. And when I say that, I'm sure there's at least 75% of everybody listening right now going, what the heck's the matter with them? It doesn't make any sense. It's not for them. There's only one thing worse than not having any money invested in the stock market, and that's having money invested in the stock market and pulling it out at the worst time.
Mm-hmm.
Then all you did was have all the heart palpitations with none of the reward. It doesn't make any sense. Well, similarly, to answer your question in a very, you know, long story long, I guess, what should you be doing? You should be learning And you should be uncovering what applies to you and getting it done as quick as possible. So let's go back to the money management thing. People will say, you know, in my 401k, what should I do? It depends on your 401k. If you work for the government's TSP program, for example, and you say, where should I be? It only has like five options. So we're going to have to pick between one of those five options unless you have the ability to do what's called an in-service withdrawal, which means you can actually, while you continue to work, if you're over 59 and a half and you work for the federal government, you can pull some of that money out, not pay the taxes, put it in an IRA, invest it in anything you want, and continue to work and contribute to your TSP. That can be hugely helpful for some people because now I don't have five options. I have 55,000 options,
sure.
Right? Well, so what if I work for a company that doesn't allow me to do that? Well, then your answer is different because we can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
What if your 401k has 115 options in it? Well, maybe you don't need to do that. Maybe you have tremendous amounts of options. So I guess, you know, the only answer that I can provide on what should you be doing is you should be learning what applies to you and getting with someone who can help you decipher all your choices and come up with the best decision for you.
And that definitely is what you'll find at Aptus, 614-917-1040 to set up your free no-obligation consultation or make it online at Aptus Wealth, APTUS, aptuswealth.com. In our case, we had our kids late in life, and so we're dealing with saving for retirement and planning for retirement with, I don't know, maybe dial back a little bit from the word urgency, but we're dealing with that as at the same time that we're dealing with paying for college for our kids. And our situation is not like other people. I mean, if they were married when they were 20 years old and they had their kids, I'm like, that's way behind them. And they maybe have grandkids right now. So you have to be flexible. You have to be able to adapt different investment vehicles for different people who are at different stages of life.
Absolutely. And everybody's different. So, and your scenario is not that unusual today, right? People are having kids much later in life. So I run across your scenario all the time, but I also run across the scenario where somebody's in their 40s and have grandkids.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. They're all different. But I think, again, people are completely different, but we're always trying to look for the every 3,000 miles, I'm supposed to change my oil. And as long as I do that, I'm good. And unfortunately, it's just simply not that easy. And I'll give you another example. People say, okay, well, if I don't want to work with you, how should I invest? Well, ignore everything that I just said because you shouldn't be doing that. Because what I just described is very labor intensive and hard. So what we're doing versus, let's just say, going to Vanguard and picking the S&P 500 is we're trying to achieve S&P 500 like returns, assuming I'm comparing risk to risk here and you're not in a conservative fund. We're trying to get S&P 500-esque returns or better with a lot less bounce or volatility.
Sure.
Well, that's not an easy game to play. So you better know what you're doing. Are we day trading? Of course not. Are we making some calls, some decisions on whether or not we should be more in value or more in growth or more in small companies or more in large? Or you're seeing a lot of companies going way heavy into international stocks right now, Vanguard being one of them. We are not leaning in nearly as hard. We're making decisions, and we have logical reasons why we're making those decisions. You should not be doing that if you don't know what you're doing. So for you, just go buy the Vanguard S&P 500 and close your eyes and move on. So again, I'm probably overcomplicating the issue, but the point here is investing means different things to different people at different stages of their life with different backgrounds, with different risk tolerances, with different, right? And you just have to acknowledge that there's no take the blue pill and you'll be fine.
Josh Pick, the Aptus team, available for the free consultation by calling 614-917-1040 or making your appointment online at aptuswealth.com. This realization that I outlined here at the beginning of this segment saying, I know retirement's coming. I know I have to start seriously thinking about it. Does that make me pretty typical for clients who are in my age group? Or do you find that people don't really have a realistic view of the impending nature of retirement or what could go wrong or all that? They might have it for other people who are their exact same age and in the exact same life station, but they don't really apply it to themselves. I'm kind of curious about where human nature is as you interact with clients across the spectrum.
Yeah, I think retirement's a much easier conversation because everybody's kind of, for the most part, looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
So while maybe we wait a little longer than we should before we have an in-depth conversation about what that picture is going to look like, it's not an uncomfortable one. I'm looking forward to retirement. I'm looking forward to what that picture looks like. I can't wait to tell you all the things I want to do when I get to retirement. But where it gets a little bit more difficult, and maybe you're trying to avoid using the word denial, but sometimes we get in denial about how old we are, and I'll pick on my mother a little bit. I love my mom, but she'll say things like, "Oh, there's just so many old people at my gym." And like, they're the same age as you, right? And she just refuses to admit that, you know, she's, you know, I'm not calling her old, but if they're old, you're old,
right?
Right? And I think where that conversation really comes into play is when we start talking about the harsh realities that 50% of everybody on that's listening to us right now and 50% of the people who are sitting in this room are going to need some help from a health perspective in our long-term care when we get older.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to talk about it because nobody wants to have to deal with it. But a coin flip is not something you should ignore. The other thing is we're all going to die. Sorry.
Yeah.
We're all going to die.
Yeah.
And we don't want to talk about that either.
No, we don't. The mortality rate's 100%.
100%. Nobody gets out of here alive. So, you know, I find oftentimes that people are in denial about the reality that if you're 70 years old right now, and I'm not saying you're not going to live to 100, and I hope everybody listening does, but life expectancy averages would tell you that you're wrong. And that would mean that if you're waiting for 5 years to do that cool thing that you want to do, you're really rolling the dice. So our plan should be designed around getting as much done as you can early in retirement, because you might not have the option later, but also understanding that we're going to have to plan for long-term care and the passing of any additional money off to whoever you want to leave it to. And if you don't do that, you'd say, well, I don't have to do that. Who cares what happens when I'm gone? I'm dead. All right, fair. But how about we maximize the amount of money that you leave? How about we make sure the government doesn't take it?
Mm-hmm.
How about we make sure it actually goes where you want it to go so it doesn't get hung up? Do you want to pay probate costs just for fun? You just want it to go through the courts and get hung up for a year and pay a bunch of attorneys? Why would you want to do that? Let's actually take it. It's only going to take us about an hour to figure that out, by the way. But you should do it.
So let's talk about people who realize that retirement's coming. They become clients. They're working their own blueprint. Then we have this situation of, okay, how are my investments doing? How much is in there? How are they performing? How often should I check it? I'm sure you've navigated that conversation a couple hundred times with different people. And those conversations, I would think, ramp up when we're in periods like this where the signals are mixed, the volatility is out there, it's raging, the headlines are conflicting. So is there a kind of a one answer to the question of how often should I check my investments, change my investments, et cetera, et cetera?
You know, it's interesting. They interviewed the Harvard Endowment Fund manager a long time ago. This is a very old quote, but they asked the I believe it was a woman, what if you could give one piece of advice to the average investor, what would it be? And first, let me give you some context. The Harvard Endowment Fund is widely regarded as one of the best managed funds in the world. It's one of the largest endowment funds, if not the largest in the world. They beat the indexes consistently with less risk.
Wow.
Shocker. They're pretty smart people over there at Harvard,
right?
And the answer that she provided kind of shocked the interviewer and shocked the investment world, but didn't really necessarily shock me. She had to sound fancy. So she said benign neglect, which basically means ignore your investments at all costs, because anytime you touch it, if you don't know what you're doing, you're just going to mess it up. So just ignore it. So the short answer would be, how often do you think you should, I think you should check your investments? Very infrequently. That said, we'll be watching them all the time. But of course, I understand that you want to have direct access to them all the time, and we provide that.
Mm-hmm.
But anybody who comes in and says, I'm a long-term investor, that then right after that says, do you have an app for my phone so I can check it every 15 seconds? It's kind of counterintuitive, isn't it?
I mean,
it sounds contradictory.
Actions say another.
So short answer is, I think that life happens. I think that when it comes to planning, we should be discussing your investment portfolio at least once every 6 months. And that's the protocol that we go on. We're going to talk to you every 6 months, make sure that nothing's changed. Because, again, life happens. We can modify it. And the other thing that's super important about those meetings is, let's talk about what's happened over the last 6 months in the market. Put some semblance of understanding of why that happened. Make some predictions about what the future will look like. Because expectations are very important. And if you know that, hey, the next 6 months look like they might be pretty rough, here's what we've done to mitigate some of that risk.
Mm-hmm.
you'll be much more inclined to stay the course if that actually occurs.
So is that a typical course of action for an Aptus client? Is that every 6 months at least you're going to get a call or an email or something about a physical visit, or can it be a phone consultation, or is it as simple as just in the email saying, like, look, there's really nothing that's changed about the particular vehicles that you're in. I mean, in terms of market conditions about affecting those vehicles, we're just going to, if you're okay with it, we're going to let it ride, or here's why we're going to let it ride. What's that like, that interaction that you have with a client?
Well, we work for them. Mm-hmm. So the decision of how they want to meet is up to them. If you're in North Carolina, they're usually, or Florida, they're usually Zoom meetings or phone calls. But more and more these days, you know, even if you live in New Albany and we're over in the Lewis Center area, hey, can we just do a Zoom call? No problem. But you will get a call from us every 6 months and an email saying, hey, it's time. Do you want to do this? On top of that, you will get consistent correspondence from us via newsletters and one-off emails that say, we understand that this is going on in the economy. Here's the decisions that we've made in all our portfolios. This is why we've made them. Keep you up to speed on what we're doing and why. But I think those one-on-one meetings are very, very important because, again, we've been talking forever here about everybody's unique and different.
The avenue to becoming an Aptus client is to start with that free consultation. No obligation. Get to know them. Talk out your particular investment philosophy, theirs. You can set that up by going to their website, making your appointment online, aptuswealth.com. APTUS is how you spell Aptus. They're located in Lewis Center, right off Route 750. It's not far from 23 and 270. You, of course, can make your appointment by calling their office and setting up a convenient time for you and for them. Their office number is 614-917-1040, 614-917-1040. So when you're interacting with a client in that kind of annual checkup or semi-annual checkup, what leads to a change in their investment vehicle? Is it most often that the vehicle has performed, but there's another vehicle in that same category that's performed better? Is it the proximity of retirement for the client now that they've, you know, gotten a little bit older? And how common is it that you're moving their investment from one particular vehicle, one particular maybe even strategy, one particular part of the blueprint may shift over time?
Yeah, the answer is yes to all of those. Sometimes we'll go a year or two with very modest adjustments. And I think that the perfect time frame to look at would be like from 2010 to about 2018. The market did very little other than go up like a rocket ship.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, were there adjustments being made in the background to make sure we didn't get overweighted in a certain category, much like is happening today? If you look at the S&P 500 year to date, 10 companies are responsible for the entire rate of return of the entire S&P 500. So 490 companies are flat,
mm-hmm.
and 10 companies are leading the charge. As a result of that, 10 companies now represent about a third of the total of the total S&P 500. Well, that's cause for concern. Maybe we want to pull back some reins or make some adjustments. But let's think about something much easier. Let's say that you had a fixed annuity contract that was paying 4%, and we can get out of that fixed annuity contract with no penalty whatsoever and move to a new one that's paying 5%, and nothing's changed. Well, why wouldn't we do that?
Yeah.
That makes total sense. So some of them are very easy, some of them are more complicated, and some of them are relatively investment or product driven. Others, on the other hand, are planning driven. So I was going to retire in 5 years, but I just got laid off and I realized I just don't have it in me anymore. I'm not going back to work. Well, to say that that wouldn't make an impact on your financial life would be foolish. Of course, that might be cause for some changes. Or I got an inheritance that I wasn't planning on. These can all be reasons for adjustment. What is not a reason for adjustment is I just feel, it doesn't mean that it doesn't require conversation, I just feel scared because I've been watching the news a lot, mm-hmm. and I think I want to go from 100% stock to 100% gold. That doesn't make sense, but it is a logical thing to talk about, because if you can't overcome it with logic, then you're going to ultimately end up making an irrational decision. Sometimes people just change. One client of mine comes to mind. He worked for a bank. He was high level in a very large bank that everybody would know here in Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
He was in the market the whole time. His job was being in the market. That's what he did for a living. He amassed quite a fortune, and he said, my plan has always been the day that I retire, I'm putting all that stress behind me, and I'm autopiloting my retirement with nothing but fixed stuff. Now, you can agree or disagree with that strategy. Not my job. My job is to provide what that client wants and show them what that trajectory looks like. So my role in that relationship is maximize fixed investments as much as possible. The end. That's my job. So everybody's different.
Yeah, but I'm thinking here about interacting with clients, and everybody's concerned about their rate of return, and everybody has conversations with their neighbor, and then they get into the comparative analysis and everything. And just for instance, like right now with volatility, I work in conservative media. You can't watch conservative media, listen to conservative media without being inundated with the precious metals, precious metals, precious metals, precious metals. And I got to believe you're hearing that all the time from clients. Well, maybe not. Maybe if they're not listening to conservative media or shaped by it. But I would imagine that's not any different on media that's not, you know, as conservative as the outfit that I work for or some of the others that I watch. I mean, I would assume that a lot of times you are in your role. I'm not necessarily asking you to comment on precious metals right now, but you are responding to people who have been conditioned to have a conversation by however they consume news.
100%. And these news or particularly online social media platforms have unbelievable algorithms that will take what you like and echo chamber the heck out of that until you're blue in the face and you can't avoid it. And that's become a challenge because now once you're, I don't want to use the word indoctrinated, but once you're pot committed to this is the way I believe, it's very difficult to unravel that, even if it was based in illogical means to begin with. I saw something online the other day and it showed somebody that it was in a classroom setting and they had a blue circle and a red circle. Have you seen this?
No, I haven't.
And the person at the front said, I know you think these are both the same size, but I'm telling you that one is bigger than the other. Which one's bigger than the other? And the room got divided. Well, I think the red one's bigger than the blue one. No, the blue one's bigger than the red one. And he stopped and said, just so you know, they're the same size. But that's how easy it was to convince you to fight against one another as to which one is bigger or smaller.
Yeah.
And to believe that we are not as easily influenced by what we read and what we see, even though we're not reading or seeing anything new or anything of any value, is very difficult. Now, fortunately, the reason we do the process, the reason we have a blueprint process, is because we're building trust over a period of time based upon quantitative fact and data and getting to know you, and you're getting to know us. So my opinion, hopefully, if I've done my job right, my opinion and your opinion of me as being somebody who can disseminate truths and fact to you and justify it should be enough to overcome some of the falsehoods that you read online. So part of my job, either good or bad, is to be a little bit of the decipherer, the decoder ring, when you're reading and maybe losing your emotional keel a little bit to go, you know, he steered me right up to this point and he's given me backup data for it. Maybe this is kind of just nonsense.
Yeah, I mean, really, because we've talked before about taking the emotion out of it. Investing is the ultimate results-oriented endeavor. And the numbers don't lie. The numbers are the numbers. And so it's funny to me that people can get programmed by a celebrity who, you know, used to have a television show or he's been in a movie they've seen years ago or whatever. But I'm sure you're dealing with that all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I think the big one, too, is we see people online that say they're rich. And we're going to follow their system. And then we find out that they're not rich and they never followed their system to
begin
with.
Or they're rich because they got people to follow their system that really didn't make them rich. What made them rich was the system. We've enjoyed this time with you guys today. We appreciate your time. Tell your friends about the Aptus Retirement Blueprint Radio Show. It's a great way to understand a lot of the concepts, a lot of the terms, a lot of the marketing that's out there. Have a real conversation with Josh and his team. Set up your free, no-obligation consultation at Aptus Wealth Management by calling their office, 614-917-1040. Their web address is aptuswealth.com. Josh will join me Monday at 12:30 on The Bruce Hooley Show. Josh, we'll see you again next week.
You as well. Thanks.
The airing of this program by this station is not an endorsement or recommendation by the station of the products or services discussed in the program. The station does not guarantee the results of any investments made by a listener to this program.
three-star general, Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.